Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to a snowy, windy, and cold February 26th. 2020 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. You know, I know there are many schools out there that do not have classes. There are many people that, you know, have the luxury of a flexible job who are probably just working from home today. And that allows us on a day like this to have some new ears to Current Sports. So if you're new to the show, listening for the first time, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. And for our regular listeners, we love you. And thanks so much for tuning in here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. It may be cold and snowy and gloomy outside, but boy, oh boy, for Spartan fans, was it a beautiful sunny, bright day, in your hearts at least, last night after watching your Michigan State men's basketball team get what really was a clutch victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes. I mean, how thrilling was that? You got to be excited right now because there are many people like myself that totally wrote the Spartans off of competing for a Big Ten regular season championship not too long ago during that stretch of basketball where they lost four of five games. It could have been five straight. But now Michigan State sits in second place, treading water, still in competition for a possible Big Ten championship, still trailing, though, Maryland. And with that win last night, it sets up a pretty epic showdown against the Terrapins in College Park. College game day will be in the house for that matchup. That is going to be huge because Michigan State could gain major tread in this conversation. But I want to break down what happened last night because that was arguably the most important win of the season. I want to ask that to our listeners out there. Was last night's 8-point victory, I feel bad for those who put down some cheese at 8.5. My goodness, Cassius Winston could have made your wallet a little bit fatter if you didn't miss that free throw. I mean, my goodness, I kind of feel bad for you guys who did lay down some cheese at that 8.5 cover. You needed that free throw to bolster that Spartan win to 9, not 8. But I'll harp on that later on. But I want to ask our listeners out there, is that the biggest win of the season? When evaluating this year, was last night's dub over Iowa the biggest win of the season thus far? I think the other game, I would say yes, but the other game you could probably argue is that Seton Hall win. That was huge as well. But that's the question I have for you all. We're going to break it all down. I'll take you through my standout performances. And, you know, I truly believe, I tweeted this out last night, I truly believe that this team took some strides in terms of maturity as we are now just three games away from the college basketball postseason. So an important game. Today's show is going to be centered on Michigan State and Iowa. We'd love to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call or text that number. You can comment below the live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I am also going to dive into, as promised on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, I'm going to dive into a bit of Mel Tucker's hirees and what we can take away from the latest additions that he has added to his coaching staff. And on the back end of the show, if we have time, and that all depends on, you know, how much you guys want to bask in the glory of that Michigan State and Iowa game last night, Spartan fans basking in the glory of that win, I may get to Deontay Wilder and this big debate that's happening right now in the fight world concerning that fight in which he lost to Tyson Fury. Wilder is very critical of the trainer who threw in the towel and, of course, led to that victory for Tyson Fury. But it really didn't lead to the victory. I mean, Tyson Fury, even leading up to that point, completely dominated that fight. But there's a few points I want to make concerning that. The conversation that we have in sports when concerning health and especially in the fight game, you know, when is enough enough? When do you throw in the towel? So we'll get to that if we have time on the back end. But you know what's next? Behind the glass, we've got Alec Rio and Sean Gardner. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start right there, right? The number 24 Michigan State men's basketball team playing at home inside of the friendly confines of the Breslin Center, topping number 20 Iowa 78-70. The win improves the Spartans now to 19-9 overall and still in second place of the Big Ten Conference at 11-5. Maryland still leads the conference. So Michigan State last night had three players score in double digits, led by Rocket Watts. How big was the freshie? 21 points for him. Cassius Winston, he was just brilliant in that second half. He finished with 20 points, 9 assists, 19 of those points coming in the second half. And finally, Aaron Henry, who dropped in 15, picked up 6 boards. MSU did lose the battle of the boards to the Hawkeyes by a margin of 40-32. But they only had 11 turnovers. How about that? And the MSU defense allowed Iowa to shoot 40% from the field, just 22% from deep, though. That was huge. More on that win for the Spartans in just a moment. Also want to note, man, what is going on with Duke this season, right? 7th-ranked Duke allowed 113 points in a double overtime loss to Wake Forest last night, tying the most points that a Mike Krzyzewski team has ever allowed in his coaching career, and also tied the second most allowed by the Blue Devils in any game. Sheesh. Brandon Childress, he missed his first 10 shots before hitting a tying three-pointer with 15.5 left in regulation. And once the game went into the second extra period, Childress buried another on the first possession to put the Demon Deacons ahead to stay sending them to their first win, 113-101 against Duke in nearly 6 years. Childress actually finished with 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He made 6 of his last 10 shots, scored 13 points in the 2 overtimes. Isaiah Musias, he came up with a dunk with 14.7 seconds left to finally punctuate a huge victory for Danny Manning's club. So there you have that. Duke just really struggling this year. I'll have more on Duke later on. All right, the MSU women's basketball team will conclude the regular season this week with a pair of games. The Spartans will play their final regular season road game against Illinois tonight at 8 p.m. The Spartans had their 3-game win streak halted against Michigan just 3 days ago on the 23rd. Michigan State now stands at 14-13 overall, 7-9 in the Big Ten. Illinois is 11-16 overall, 2-14 in Big Ten play. The Illini have lost 4 straight games and will honor their seniors against Michigan State tonight in their annual pink game this past weekend against Michigan. The Spartans had a season-high 11,462 people in the stands. Also want to give a shout-out to my middle school basketball coach, Coach McKinney, who was actually among those 11,462 people in the stands. Great seeing him in East Lansing. The crowd was the 15th highest in Michigan State history. It was the highest since the 12,434 attended game against Michigan on February 11th of 2018. So when Michigan and Michigan State play the women's basketball, the fans come out. But again, tonight, the task at hand, Michigan State women's basketball, Susie Merchants Club taking on Illinois. Illinois coming into that meeting with Michigan State, holding an 11-16 overall record. And again, that 2-14 record in Big Ten play. Tip time, 8 p.m. And really sad news here, as it was announced that Dick Tamburo, a former Michigan State All-American center who was a part of a pair of national championship teams, he passed away on Monday at the age of 90 years old. Tamburo, he played for the Spartans from 1950 to 1952 under head coach Biggie Munn. They posted a combined record of 26-1 in those 3 seasons and won national titles in 1951 and 1952. And Tamburo was named a first-team All-American as a senior and selected as the team's MVP when Michigan State posted a 9-0 record for the second straight year. A native of Pennsylvania, Tamburo was part of an offensive line that helped the Spartans average 272.4 rushing yards per game back in 52, the third highest single-season total in program history. He was also a standout linebacker for a defense that finished the 1952 season number one in the nation against the run at 83.9 yards per game, and he recovered 3 fumbles in the third quarter of a 21-3 win against number 6 Notre Dame. He was also selected to play in the East-West Shrine Game and Senior Bowl and was picked by the Cleveland Browns in the 4th round of the 53 NFL Draft. And he also played briefly in the CFL. And after his playing career ended, Tamburo was in the Army from 1955 to 56, then was an assistant coach at Arizona State and Iowa. He went on to a career as an administrator and was the AD at Texas Tech, Arizona State, and Missouri. Quite the athletics career, right? He was inducted into the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics Hall of Fame back in 06. But we send our condolences to the Tamburo family. Again, Dick Tamburo passing away on Monday at the age of 90. Quite the life lived. All right, to less important matters now, the Western Michigan University and Central Michigan University football rivalry will have a new home this year. Western will play its annual rivalry game against Central at Ford Field in Detroit this season in mid-October, according to a report by the Detroit News. The 2020 battle for the victory cannon will be the first time the rivalry is played anywhere other than the home stadium of either school in the series, which dates back to 1907. The full 2020 MAC schedule will be announced today at 3 p.m. when the date and time of the rivalry game is expected to be officially announced shortly after. And what's being reported is that the reason this game is being moved to Ford Field is to put more eyeballs on the game, because enrollment has been declining steadily over the years for both Western Michigan and Central Michigan. So they're trying something new here, hoping to bolster the brand of both schools. All right, after falling to the Denver Nuggets last night, the Detroit Pistons losing streak moves to 7. Hooray, I am all for full Detroit Pistons tank mode right now because they need a draft pick. They have now won just 2 of their past 15 games. This is great news. It's not particularly fun times to be a fan, but for me, this is great. This is great, especially since there's no real light at the end of the tunnel for the season, but who cares about this season? The 115-98 loss to Denver only is just an extra punch in the flurry of punches coming the Pistons' way. Christian Wood proving to be a part of the small amount of hope for the near future. He had 20 points, and Derrick Rose also had 20 in the loss. The Pistons are 19-41 on the year and are 12th in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Let's make it dead last. They now travel to Phoenix to take on Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns on Friday at 9 p.m. And another day, another Detroit Red Wings loss. The now Andreas Athanasiou and Mike Greenless Detroit Red Wings took the ice against the New Jersey Devils, looking to fill the hole left in all of our hearts with 2 meaningless points. Less than a week after being mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, there isn't much on the line. Valtteri Fipula, he notched the only goal in losing effort as the winged wheel sits at 15-46-4, dead last in the NHL by a wide margin. They also have like pick number 3 in the NHL draft this year. Next game, if you are interested, tomorrow against the Minnesota Wild at 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. And Maria Sharapova announced her retirement from tennis today. She will be remembered in many corners of her sport with respect more than affection, and it will not worry her much at all, as the 32-year-old Russian who arrived in America from Sochi with her father in 94 as refugees from the poison of Chernobyl, with $700 and not a word of English between them. Quite the story for Sharapova and her family. She went on to win 5 Grand Slam titles and was ranked the highest earner in the women's sport for 11 years in a row. But it is her icy demeanor and failure to build on an early victory over Serena Williams that grabs the imagination as much as those fine achievements. Sharapova, who beat Serena to win the Wimbledon in 04 when just 17, then lost 20 of the following 21 matches, was never universally popular in the locker room. She cared little about courting popularity, but she had the professional respect of her rivals for her single-mindedness and fighting spirit. So Maria Sharapova retiring. And more than most players on the tennis circuit, Sharapova divided opinion. There were many players who objected to her early return from a drugs ban, if you remember back in 2017, after she had failed a test for the banned Meladonium the previous year. Sharapova, who protested her innocence, had her 2-year ban cut to just 15 months, but was never the same player in that comeback that stuttered from one disappointing setback to the next, on and off the court. Her last tournament win was in a low-ranked event in China 3 years ago. So Sharapova has had enough and has decided to retire from tennis. And, you know, what's really remarkable to me is that, you know, despite the losses, I mean, sure, there were a few successes early on in her career, but despite the losses, she was still able to really brand herself. And as I mentioned, she racked in a ton of dough. So wishing Maria Sharapova well in her post-tennis career endeavors. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call or text. And you can tweet us, Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Or just weigh in at the Facebook live stream, which you can view at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Folks, Michigan State men's basketball, what a victory over Iowa. Many of you commenting on our Facebook page right now about that victory. I know you guys were so excited seeing the Spartans celebrate that one. Arguably the most important win of the season thus far. You know, I see you. Ben says I predicted that Michigan State would lose by 3 points. Ain't wrong. I actually predicted that Michigan State would win, but I wasn't confident in it. So maybe it sounded like I predicted Michigan State to lose. I actually said they would win by three, but I said I wouldn't be surprised if they lost by three. So Mike comments and says that Michigan State closed out a game for once, and also that Rocket Watts showed some potential last night. Sometimes he is out of control. And, yeah, many of you commenting on that win. So you can comment. Again, just pub the number 517-355-WKAR. Call or text that number or comment below the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us as well. But let's dive right into it. I just want to get some thoughts off my chest when it comes to this win and why I believe it was the biggest win of the season. I'll just address that off top. It was the biggest win of the season because this still keeps Michigan State's hopes alive to possibly win a Big Ten regular season championship. And in terms of maturity, we saw some young pups step up. None bigger than Rocket Watts, who I'll get to in just a moment. But to come back and win after being down at halftime, that's the first time Michigan State has done that this season. Every loss that Michigan State has had when they've been down at halftime has been a loss. It's been just that. This was the first time Michigan State was down and rallied to win in the second half. Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, the two players that we know must play well in order for Michigan State to pull out wins, they did just that. But I was very weary. And Spartan fans who are sitting there saying that you weren't, when looking at the stats at halftime, especially reading that Cassius Winston had 1 point, just 1 point for Cassius Winston at the half, you can't tell me that you weren't weary of a Spartan win at the half. You had to be concerned. You had to be. Winston and Tillman combined scored just 1 point, and that 1 point came from Cassius at the half, as Michigan State fell behind to Iowa and did not have an answer for who will be your Big Ten Player of the Year in Luke Garza. Luke Garza, just give him the hardware right now. He is so hard to stop. So hard to stop. And Michigan State didn't have a prayer for him in that first half. He did what he wanted. He bullied people. He turned on that left shoulder, found the glass, and found the bottom of the line time after time after time. And at halftime, those who watched the broadcast, you heard what sideline reporter Molly McGrath stated. Tom Izzo got in the face of Cassius Winston and challenged him. Woke him up from whatever la-la land he was in that first half. And let him know that this is your team. Quote, this is your team. That's what Molly was quoted as saying, reporting to us all, coming from the lips of Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo begged Cassius to take over. And man, oh man, did he. That is what we saw last night from Cassius Winston in that second half. That is what separates the good from the great and the great from the exceptional. Because Cassius Winston is the exception. You don't see a player like him come around often who can just flip a switch and just take over a basketball game. Only the truly special can do that, and Cassius Winston is in that category. If you don't know that by now, he reminded you of that in the second half last night. He goes off scoring 19 of his 20 points in the final 20 minutes of that game. On 9 shots in the second half. Unreal. I couldn't believe what I was watching. After just scoring 1 point on a free throw, missing all of his shots in the opening half, and you know, he had 2 turnovers, he did have 4 assists, but that kind of a stat line that is un-Cassius-like, he was able to do what he did in that second half. I mean, I'm sure your jaws were on the floor like mine watching that. Unbelievable. There aren't too many dudes who can do that. And I'll just take you to the sequence that got me. I mean, with Iowa ahead, this is when I really thought that Iowa was going to have like a stranglehold on this game and just kind of just, you know, push that lead out. It was 42. I noted it was 42-32 with like 17 and some change to play. Winston just caught fire. He hits a 3-pointer. Then he's able to maneuver through Iowa defenders for a crazy driving layup. And then after Michigan State gets a stop on the other end, he hits his 4th 3-pointer in 4 attempts. He wasn't done there. He said, okay, because that's when you start to see Iowa key in and say, all right, here it comes. Here's Cassius Winston. And they started to throw an extra defender his way. So what does he do? And this is what makes Cassius so hard to stop, because he's got eyes in the back of his head. He knows where all 10 guys are on that basketball court. He then hits Aaron Henry for an elbow jumper to tie it. And then hits Tillman on this crazy Houdini-like bounce pass that somehow found the pause of Tillman. Pick and roll. Go ahead layup to cap a 7-0 run that put MSU up 53-51 with 11 minutes left. That run was one of the best stretches of basketball I have ever seen Cassius Winston display. He is one of the best Big Ten men's basketball players of all time. We don't need to talk about Spartan Laurie anymore. We all know that Cassius Winston, I believe, when his career is said and done after this season, his name needs to be chiseled on the Mount Rushmore of Michigan State men's basketball players. He's up there with Mateen. He's up there with Magic. And then it's like, you know, for that fourth slot, Cassius is up there. For that fourth slot, you can debate. You know, you get Greg Kelser, maybe, Mo Pete, Steve Smith. You could debate about that fourth slot, but best believe Cassius Winston's face is up there, chiseling stone. It's unreal what he's doing. We all know about him breaking the Big Ten assist record earlier this year. But, again, he's one of the best Big Ten men's basketball players of all time. He is one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. It's not an exaggeration. There aren't many players out there that can say, hey, hop on my back. I'm going to carry us. And that's what happened last night. And also, I heard Dan Dockage. Dan Dockage, who did the game. He is not very popular in Spartan fandom for many different reasons. But Dan Dockage gave Cassius a lot of props last night, and he basically reiterated what I just said, that he is one of the best Big Ten men's basketball players of all time. Rocket Watts. I feel like he's taking that step. Mark Rocket Watts is elevating his game. We all knew that he had the potential, and we were all just kind of waiting, like, is this the game? Is this the game? Is this the game? Well, he's shooting, but he's not connecting, but he's not afraid to shoot. He's got uber confidence. But we all knew that this was in him. Rocket equaled a career high with 21 points last night. He was not afraid in big moments. When Michigan State needed a big bucket here or there in that first half, when Iowa tried to stretch out that lead and get away, Rocket would come through with the bucket. And not to mention, he has improved defensively as well. This is what you want to see around this time of the year when, again, you are knock, knock, knocking on that door of the postseason. Your young pups have to mature. Your freshmen need to start looking a little bit like sophomores. And Rocket, I don't think I'm jumping the gun in saying this, Rocket is maturing at a high rate right now, and he is becoming a key part of what Michigan State does on both ends of the basketball floor. It's amazing watching him play. And I love that confidence, man. He's got that killer instinct. And the guy that I've been waiting to be, you know, like the Jermaine to the Michael and Tito that is Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman. You know, he's like Jermaine Jackson. You got Michael Jackson, Tito Jackson. We all know that's Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman. But then you got Jermaine over there doing his thing. And I've been waiting for Aaron Henry to be that Jermaine. And I think he finally is. I knock on wood, but I think we're there with Aaron. He scored 12 of his 17 in the second half. He was big. Aaron almost, I don't know what player it was, but he almost put somebody on little Bobby's wall in that second half as well, elevating and almost just slamming it down on some Iowa defender. He didn't convert. He did get the foul and went to the free throw line, but my goodness, you're just reminded of Aaron Henry's athleticism. So Henry, 12 of his 17 in the second half, Rocket chipping in with 21. This is what you need. And now I want to harp on who arguably was the biggest component to that win last night. Xavier Tillman, who played, Xavier Tillman Sr. I love that, right? He's got the senior now on the back of his back because of the birth of his son. I absolutely love that. Xavier Tillman Sr., who played just 448 in the first half, after battling foul trouble. I had my man Deshaun Tate, who was on the show yesterday. Deshaun Tate was hitting me up. He shot me a text in that first half saying, Al, X looks like a married man with two kids. He's looking like a married man with two kids, which still blows my mind that Xavier Tillman is married with two kids. I mean, can you just imagine that? And trying to juggle college, and that's crazy. His maturity is through the roof, right? But he played just 448 because of that foul trouble. He ended up finishing with 6 points and six boards. Not crazy offensive numbers. That's not the reason I'm bringing him up as the X factor, the component that led to that Michigan State win last night. Because when Luka Garza was going crazy due to Tillman not being in the game, when Tillman came back in that game in that second half, he shut Luka Garza down. I don't want to say it was just him, though. A lot of people are making it seem like it was just him. Credit to Tom Izzo and his assistant coaches, Dwayne Stevens, Mike Garland, Dane Fife, they came up with a great game plan that helped Tillman in putting together one incredible defensive effort because there were extra bodies coming at Luka Garza in that second half. Luka Garza, he struggled in that second half, sure, because of the brilliant defense of Xavier Tillman, but because the extra bodies were there as well, helping him out. But man, did Xavier Tillman stand his ground and not let Luka just turn over his left shoulder and bank in layup after layup after layup. Tillman was huge. Huge. Garza shot the ball once inside the paint in the final 7 minutes. Just one time in the final 7 minutes did Garza get off a shot in the paint. This is the Big Ten Player of the Year. Give him the hardware right now. And Tillman Sr. was able to go in there and limit this man to one shot in the paint in the final seven? Unreal. Huge. Garza led Iowa, as he always does. 20 points, 9 rebounds. You had Ryan Kreiner, he had 19 points, and then Connor McCaffrey had 11. But we all know Garza is the guy for Iowa. He is the straw that stirs that drink. And what I stated, you know, during our preview yesterday was that, all right, you know, with Garza, one, you want to get him to the free throw line. And then two, he's going to get his points, but he has to do it on a ton of shots. Garza, yeah, he led Iowa with 20 points, but you know how many shots he put up to get to those 20 points? 21 shots. He shot the ball 21 times. That was big. That was big, man. And Michigan State avoided what would have been a historic loss. Michigan State, which lost to Penn State and Maryland in its past two games at the Breslin. That's two straight losses at the Breslin. Michigan State had not lost three straight home games since 1996-97. A long time ago. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts to think about? That shows you the consistency of Tom Izzo. Izzo has never lost three straight games at the Breslin since 1996-97. It would have been the first time since then if they had fallen to Iowa last night. 96-97 was Izzo's second season. And that was the last year the Spartans did not make the NCAA tournament. That's insane, man. Izzo is that dude. He just is. You know, a lot of people debate it. Hey, he hasn't had a national championship in 20 years. And, you know, a lot of people criticize Tom for the moves that he's made and his coaching style and blah, blah, blah. But my goodness, is that consistent or what? Few things you got to consider, though. The Spartans did endure another rough start. Three turnovers in the first 3:39. So, you know, slow starts are a continuing thing for this team. But in the grand scheme of things last night, they finished with just 11 turnovers. They took good care of the basketball. But that was a rough 3:39 to start. That quickly led to 8 points for Iowa. Dug him a hole early. Tillman's foul trouble. I do want to comment on that. Again, picking up that second foul, just 4:48 into the game. That forced Izzo to have to rotate players like Thomas Kithier. And Kithier, you got to make it layups, Thomas. Kithier had some not great sequences, not so great sequences early in that game. The blown layup, he had a bad turnover. He did kind of make up for it with a few plays after that, but Thomas Kithier is Thomas Kithier. Malik Hall rotated in to try and stop Garza as well. Julius Marble off the bench. And also Marcus Bingham. Tom Izzo threw all of those bodies at Luka Garza. And they had to play Luka Garza due to the fact that Tillman got into foul trouble early. That can't happen.
And, you know, again, this team goes when Winston and Tillman are going. Because even with, you know, Winston and Tillman struggling in that first half and you were getting help from players like Aaron Henry and Mark Rocket Watts, still Michigan State was trying to fight back in that game. Just to show you just how important Winston and Tillman are. Michigan State went, you know, just 1-for-9 from three-point range in that first half, trailed at halftime, 33-27. And if it wasn't for Rocket, you know, his 9 first-half points really kept the Spartans from being down more than that 33-27 deficit. But a win is a win. And when you see the contribution that happened around Cassius and X, I'm encouraged, but I'm not going to sit here and throw a party. This was a huge victory. But another bugaboo for Michigan State has been consistency. Can they do this on a consistent basis? I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment here and throw a party. Michigan State, yay, you play Maryland. They're going to beat Maryland. They're looking good now. I'm not going to say that right now. Let's just take that game for what it was, and it was special. Can they continue to trend upward? That is the question. Michigan State's defense is now 12th in the country. Boy, were they great last night. That's according to KenPom. 12th defense in the country. And also, according to KenPom, they are the 7th team in the country. You know, KenPom knows hardcore statistics and metrics. Take that for what you will, but that's pretty impressive. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'll go behind the glass after this first break and get the thoughts of Alec Rio, who put together some fantastic footage right there on the court for us, which I'm going to get some of those highlights up on our Facebook page later on today. You know, I'll get the thoughts of Alec Rio. I don't know if Sean Gardner was to weigh in as well, but you can call in, 517-355-WKAR. Call or text that number. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, betting is becoming a huge, huge part of sports, if it already wasn't, right? It was kind of like a taboo thing, and now it's just so open because, you know, it's becoming a legal thing here in America and, you know, especially here in Michigan as well. You know, as some casinos are even putting together sports books, getting ready for what is going to be a very interesting March Madness, right? And, you know, talking about betting lines and things like that, which we do here on Current Sports. And Michigan State was an 8.5-point favorite if you got into it late. If you got in it early, Michigan State was a 7.5-point favorite in the books of many sports books out there. But if you had the 8.5, oh, got a feel for you a little bit. Cassius Winston, who is something like an 85% free throw shooter, missing that last one that would have given Michigan State a 9-point lead. Oh! Yeah, I feel bad for those who had that ticket. But for those who don't indulge in that kind of stuff, a win is a win. You're happy, Spartan fans. I want to go behind the glass right now. Alec Rio, you had a different vantage point than me. You were on the court shooting footage of that game for us here at WKAR's Current Sports. And just your takeaways, man. I know that atmosphere was raucous. It was loud. It was charged up, especially when Cassius Winston made that run. I mean, that place, you felt like the roof was about to blow off of it. What did you see last night, and what were some of your takeaways from that Michigan State win?
Yeah, so the first half, honestly, the Iz zone wasn't really that much in it. But in the second half, when they went on that run to make it 53-51, that whole place was erupting. Like, it was just an unreal atmosphere. And I think it had a small part of why they won last night. But Iowa was just a bigger team in general, just, you know, taller, more physical. They had 40 rebounds, 24 defensive rebounds, and 16 offensive rebounds, whereas Michigan State only had 7 offensive rebounds. So, you know, they were just bullying in the paint on both ends. And so, you know, Kreiner and Garza, you know, they're just both big men. You know, they, until Xavier Tillman came in, they had absolutely nobody contesting them. But Xavier Tillman was doing a better job, you know, guarding the perimeter after that. You know, you made all the good points that I wanted to make. You know, Rocket Watts, he even despite going 2-7, you know, he was a reliable mid-range shooter. Cassius Winston, being Cassius Winston in the second half, didn't let the first half faze him. Ended up 4-for-5 from three. You know, this was a statement win, no doubt. You know, this was definitely, MSU was going on a rough stretch, and people were questioning whether or not MSU would make it far at all in the tournament. And this win definitely does give some breathing room for that.
I still question it. Again, I'm not going to be prisoner of the moment here and say, oh, this team is a Final Four team.
Nope, by no means.
This team is going to get out of the – easily get out the first weekend and the second weekend. I'm going to take this game for what it was. It was a huge win, and it aided in this team maturing a bit. Again, Rocket is becoming such a fun player to watch. You can fill it up, man, and that's very encouraging. And what really concerns me, though, still is the slow starts. You know, that's got to stop because you know, if you get off the slow starts in the tournament, it can hurt you. It can hurt you badly. They took great care of the basketball, though. That was very encouraging, man. You know, a lot of those just nonsensical arid passes that we were seeing, and you know, especially during that stretch of basketball where they lost 4 of 5 games. You know, Michigan State is taking care of the basketball more, but what we're seeing is other performances outside of Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman that could aid when those guys may not be having the best game and are keyed on. But still, make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, this team is going to go as far as Winston and Tillman takes them. And, yeah, you know, I saw, you know, even I just like the fire that this team is playing with now, because I have been talking about, you know, you talked about how in that first half, Iowa out-toughed Michigan State. And that's certainly what was happening. Mm-hmm. How many times have we talked about the toughness and questioned the toughness of this team? Michigan State not being where it needs to be in terms of toughness. And in that second half, you know, this team had a nastiness to it that I really enjoyed. You know, yelling at the crowd and flexing a little bit and, you know, pumping each other up. You know, I forget who the player was, but, you know, Julius Marble was jawing, and I think it was Pimsel. That's what it was. He was jawing at Cordell Pimsel, and they were like talking trash to each other, and you saw Julius Marble, like, you know, you were right there.
I was right there.
You probably heard some words that were not FCC compliant.
Oh, exactly.
From the mouths of both Pimsel, mm-hmm, and Marble. But I like that stuff.
Oh, I love
it. You
know,
when it comes to tourney time, man, you can't be out tough, and you got to have a little nastiness to you, man, that aids in you reaching an emotional level that helps you win games late in the season.
Yeah, getting in their head. Exactly. And another play that struck out to me was Kyle Ahrens. I was actually like 5 feet away when he dove into Rico Beard and Hondo. He dove right into there. And that acrobatic play honestly rejuvenated the Iz zone, because before that you could hear a pin drop. But after that, they were showing, you know, their applause for Kyle Ahrens for making that play. And then it kind of got them back into it. The Iz zone was jumping back. It honestly, that kind of could have been the turning point of the game.
And
honestly,
and see, that also scares me a little bit too, Alec. You know why? You ain't going to have the Iz zone in tournament time. You know, it ain't like the whole Iz zone going to get you, pack them in a suitcase and just travel with them. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You got to learn how to win. That's why if they beat Maryland this weekend, I become a believer that this team could possibly pull off some magic. If they lose this game, you better believe that some of those old demons will be reiterated, and we'll be talking about the same old stuff on Monday's show. But if they can beat Maryland, all eyes are on you. College game day will be out in College Park. If you can beat them, that is huge. We got Sean Gardner here live in studio, right to my 1 o'clock here. Sean, what did you see last night, and where are you at right now in this moment when it comes to what Michigan State was able to do against Iowa last night?
So I saw, I'm kind of like you, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, jump on the ship. We're going to go win the championship right now. But I saw the potential of what this team could be. You know, I think they could develop and, you know, come turning time to be a national championship team. You know, you saw some sparks from players like Rocket Watts. If he can play like he does, like he did last night more often, you know, I think Michigan State's got a good chance in the tournament.
What do you think is the change with Rocket? You know, I've been trying to put my finger on it. You know, what's led to him playing better? I don't know if it's just him over time getting more comfortable with the system or him getting better with picking and choosing where to score. What do you think that is? What do you think is that switch? The same question for you, Alec. I don't know what that switch is for Rocket, but it's working, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's confidence for sure and kind of trying to find your hot spot. Sometimes you're going to have your nights where your shot's going to go in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to have a rough day. Even Cassius Winston has a rough day, as we've seen. So I think it's just confidence and being comfortable developing and making that transition from high school into the college game.
What do you think is it, you know, Alec, when you look at Rocket, what has led to him, you know, really being a hallmark of this Michigan State team? Again, not just – I think his defense has always been there, but his offense is what's really kind of taken a huge step in maturity.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with Sean. It's all about his confidence and, you know, being able to drive the net and being confident in yourself enough to, you know, be able to make that mid-range jumper, you know, shoot that contested three. You know, that makes all the difference. And Tom Izzo actually mentioned it last night in his press conference when he had mentioned how Luka Garza and Kreiner, they both were, you know, bullying both of the freshmen. And he said he called them freshmen and diapers, Rocket Watts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but, you know, I really do believe that Rocket Watts is going to be a deciding factor once, you know, he's older, you know, maybe sophomore, junior year. But, you know, right now he's just getting used to college basketball. He's a freshman. Just give it time. MSU people or MSU fans, they want results and they want it now. And it has all the things to do with the Mel Tucker case. You know, just wait on it. Wait on it. Rocket Watts, he's already shown that he's got the potential to blow up. He's, especially last night, that was a prime example. And so I really do believe that if he decides to stick around for 2-3 seasons or all the way for 4, I really do believe that, you know, he can establish himself as a top 10 Spartan.
Oh, for sure. He's got the potential for sure.
Exactly.
We just have to wait and see, right? All right, let's hit our final break when we come back. I do just briefly want to comment on the, you know, the Big Ten race. And, you know, Maryland has a huge game tonight. You know, all Spartans should be, you know, grabbing, you know, your, what do they wear? Maroon and gold. Grab some maroon and gold and wear some Minnesota gear, because you become the biggest Minnesota fan tonight as Maryland takes on Minnesota. And if Minnesota can knock off Maryland, Michigan State can really make a run at this thing. It makes the matchup this weekend between the Spartans and the Terrapins that much more important. All right? They will tip off at 9 p.m. tonight on the Big Ten Network. Number one, Maryland taking on Minnesota. This is our final break. We'll come back. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just also want to give you guys an update when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, as they are in the midst of spring training right now, and they are taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. And right now in the bottom of the third, the Tigers lead the Blue Jays 2-0. All right. So baseball is right around the corner as well. Time is absolutely flying. I mean, heck, we have what? 2 more days left in this month, and then it is officially March. Gotta love it. Gotta love it, man. You know, I did touch upon this to close out yesterday's show, and I'll, you know, do it here. But what Mel Tucker is doing right now and who he has hired. Now, we're still waiting on who will be Michigan State football's defensive coordinator. But what Mel Tucker has done in the coaching staff that he has put together thus far, you know, the latest news earlier this week that Ross Ells will serve as the special teams coordinator. You just have one guy looking at the special teams and figuring things out. That is awesome. I love that. And Ross Ells has had success in improving special teams play where he has been. And also William Pegler is serving as the running backs coach. So Ells, he's been coaching for 30 years. He spent the last 3 years as the inside linebackers coach at Colorado. He added duties of special teams coordinator back in 2019. And Pegler, he has served as the, and I kind of joked at this, like, what in the world is that position? I've never heard of that position. The director of quality control. The director of quality control for the offense last season at Colorado. And he's been coaching for the past 10 years. But as Jack and I, we made the point that this is a position where he can just, it's a development position. Pegler is only 34 years old, and this is a position in which he can develop and bolster that resume even further on his road of trying to become a college head coach at some point. So, but what I love, one of the biggest things I love is that, you know, you do have this mix of new ideas with old ideas that aided in Michigan State being a great team with, you know, Ron Burton, Harlan Barnett, and Mike Tressel. You know, those were great coordinators under Coach D'Antonio, intermixed with some new ideas when it comes to Tucker's coaching staff. But, all right, with 20 seconds left, I want to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it same time, same place on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We've got Todd Duckett and Tim Hurd in studio. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It's going to be a fun one. Be easy, people.